or until the questions run out. You know, we'll see which one comes first. But how's your day?
It was wonderful. Wonderful. Had a great day. I always enjoy Mondays, believe it or not.
Well, I know I got to talk to you a little bit yesterday. You got to ride the Creeper Trail, which I know is one of your favorite things to do in the fall. I went on a bike ride yesterday myself. Today's weather's been
a great day. Beautiful day. Fall, the leaves are peaking, I believe. And now we have cold, rainy weather moving in for Halloween. The reason we're doing this tonight is because of Halloween tomorrow night, right?
That is exactly right, guys. Our show is, for those of you who are new, first of all, if you're new to the show, please say hello. Let us know where you're from. And but we do this show on Tuesdays at 7. This week we're doing it Monday because Halloween falls on Tuesday, and just want to make sure that as many people as possible can come to the show. I know everyone's busy on Halloween night. Do you have a favorite Halloween movie, out of curiosity?
Favorite Halloween movie. I guess that one, Friday the 13th, I guess.
Okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
It's probably my favorite one.
No, that one's Halloween. Isn't it? Is that called Halloween or Friday the 13th? With Jamie Lee Curtis.
Maybe that is Halloween. I'm not sure.
I think that's one of my favorites. Coal Miner's Daughter saying, great costume, guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you guys came to see us in costume, we apologize. We will disappoint. But if you came here for great health and wellness questions and answers, you guys came to the right show.
I really wish I'd have thought to wear my Dick Cheney mask.
I
should have done that tonight.
I know.
Why did I not do that?
I know. Let me see if I can find this picture. I'm gonna put it up here. You were in Dick Cheney. Let's see here. Let's see. Can you guys see that? Probably can't make that out, but that's Kelly, Adam, Mom, and Dick Cheney. All right.
I wish I had that mask. That would have been great.
We need to get to some questions. Are you ready to roll?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to roll. Here, I got to get something off camera for just one second, though. Hang on. I forgot my.
I think we're in for a surprise. There we go. Now it's official. Halloween episode is here. The Performance Medicine Show, Halloween edition. We are here live. So that is Dick Cheney?
Supposed to be. Yeah. What do you give me to do my whole podcast in this?
I don't know. Motaz just got here, and Motaz is like, you know, we've got to come on. We're here to answer questions.
Okay, that was kind of funny. That's my annual mask. That's the one I usually wear.
Yeah, I think Kelly.
In fact, I'll probably wear that tomorrow to work. You know, once a year.
The Kingsport office team, y'all get ready for that. The Dick Cheney mask will probably be in attendance tomorrow in Kingsport. All right, Jerry, what's up? Dave, what's up? Great to see everybody. Motaz, thank you for being here, man. Put questions in the comments if you have them. Like I said earlier, we're going to be here till 8 o'clock tonight. Doc, you ready to roll?
Ready to roll.
All right, let's start with this. Let's see. This is a peptide question. A lot of you, I know, are aware of some of the scenarios around peptides. The question is it okay to take CJC with Ipamorlin and Tirzepatide at the same time? Will you lose muscle? This came in over Instagram. Thank you in advance for that.
No, it's perfectly fine to take them together. Actually, you won't lose muscle with Ipamorlin, you'll gain muscle. It kind of works synergistically with testosterone. Tirzepatide, which is the generic name for Mounjaro, you could lose a little muscle with that. As you lose the weight, you could lose a little muscle. So certainly it'd be a great thing to make sure that you eat enough protein, take your amino acids, and certainly if you're on hormones, continue your hormones and work out. So it's not an issue. They're not going to double your muscle loss by any means. You know, with a peptide like CJC and Ipamorlin, it really kind of works synergistically with testosterone to build muscle and to burn fat. So it's a good combination.
So you don't think taking tirzepatide while being on CJC will offset the effects of CJC from a muscle building standpoint?
No, I can't see where that it would. No, I think it'd be a good combination. Obviously, if you're on tirzepatide, then you want to lose some fat, presumably, either that or you're type 2 diabetic. But yeah, I think it's fine. It's not gonna bother me if you have that combination.
Are people taking CJC while also on hormone therapy as well?
Yes, for sure. It works synergistically with hormone therapy.
Interesting.
You know, it's a peptide that increases your own body's production of growth hormone. So, as you know, growth hormone works along with synergistically with testosterone. Growth hormone is more like a repair hormone. Testosterone is a more of a anabolic steroid. So they work great together, and certainly there's nothing wrong with taking tirzepatide with it if you need it, certainly.
All right, great question there. I love these combination type questions. Thank you for sending that in on Instagram. Carter, I see, is in the building. What's up, Carter? Barbara, what's up? Mark's commenting on your mask, which I knew he would. So we'll have to have some commentary around the mask here in a second. But before that, we're going to get to this question here. Question is, would a chest CT scan suffice for a mammogram? I recently had this scan. It was clear, and I don't want to subject myself to more radiation getting my yearly mammogram if not needed. Thanks, and God bless. God bless to you. Thank you for being with us tonight. What's your thoughts?
That's a great comment, but no, it won't suffice for a mammogram or replace a mammogram. Chest CT is certainly not looking at the breast tissue. You can't tell anything about a breast with a chest CT. They're looking at lungs and bony structures and heart. But certainly, you know, if you really don't want to get more radiation, and again, the new digital mammograms are not that harsh as far as radiation wise, but consider thermography. You know, I hope to get thermography introduced into our performance medicine soon. So stay tuned for that. Certainly, if you had risk factors and, you know, you didn't want to get a mammogram, you could always get an MRI of breast. You know, occasionally for real dense breasts, they'll do an MRI. It's just hard to get it paid for by insurance. But no, that won't supplant a mammogram. Sorry, it just won't look at the breast.
Can you, for me, I've talked to Robin a lot about thermography, and there's, you know, some specialists around, you know, the area where I'm in Fountain City, as well as up in the Tri-Cities. What is thermography? Again, can you kind of break that down for me?
It's an imaging technique based on heat. So there's no radiation to it at all. It's a heat-seeking device that turns an image. It's almost like doing an ultrasound, but it's not ultrasound, which are sound waves. This is a heat scan. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do a podcast on it very soon when Fran's sister gets up here in Moose. She's been doing Fran is one of our PAs in Johnson City. Her sister up north has been doing those scans for 20 years or more, I think. So it's a decent alternative for people that just do not want to get mammograms.
So it's a mammogram alternative. You know, I've people have asked me, like, is Dr. Rogers okay with thermography? I'm kind of assuming you are based on what you just said.
Okay with it. There's some other things it can pick up on too as well, that mammograms won't pick up on. So like other types of tumors, but I'll do a podcast on that once she comes in the area, and be very interesting.
Super cool. Thermography. It is, especially within the functional medicine world, that is a term that comes up in regards to alternatives for mammograms. Let's go to the next question here. And this is actually the last question that came in throughout the week. It was a shorter week for the show. So we're going to get to the live comments here sooner than normal. So go ahead and put your your question in the comments. This question is, and I'm going to botch this word, will the drug doxazosin help with low urine flow pressure while urinating? And is there a natural supplement that could be taken instead?
Yeah, great question. Yes, it certainly does work. It's my preferred prescription medicine over Flomax. They're both alpha blockers, but I love doxazosin for that. My perfect combination for BPH, benign prostatic hypertrophy, the men that get up several times a night that have a hard time starting their flow, need some help with that. And doxazosin, I like over Flomax. It has a lot less of the sexual side effects that Flomax has. I think it works better. Being a guy that has BPH, I can tell you firsthand, it does work better. At least for me, but also Cialis, daily Cialis is really good too. I'd probably start out with daily Cialis, add doxazosin to it. Now that's, obviously you'd rather do something naturally if you could. And certainly that supplement's more of the herbals like saw palmetto, which is a DHT blocker, that can help. It's not as strong as the other medicines we've mentioned for that. But you can always start out with that. It's common. There's prostate formulas, and most of them have basically the same thing in them, like saw palmetto, stinging nettle root, pumpkin seed, and a few other things. I'm trying to think. But those are the main ingredients that you'll see in the natural stuff. But, it's a good one. Start out with 2 milligram, go to 4. Some people go higher than that. It's actually a blood pressure medicine. So watch your blood pressure, and certainly if you're on a blood pressure pill, watch for hypotension. So usually you take doxazosin at night away.
Is it just me that can't hear you? What happened there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I missed that last part. Do you mind repeating that? I'm sorry.
If you take doxazosin with another blood pressure medicine, space them apart. If you take doxazosin and Cialis, take the doxazosin at night and Cialis during the day.
Got it.
Because your blood pressure may drop. They both can lower your blood pressure, and you don't want to drop it too low. Like, for example, if you took them both at the same time, if you're on a blood pressure medicine, you get up at night, your blood pressure drops down. When you get out of bed, you may fall. So just be careful. Go slow with it. Start out at a lower dose. But yes, I do like that medicine for prostates.
Did you guys get that last part? Because I think he cut out for the people that are with us live when he cut out for me. So I want to make sure that you guys caught that ending, because I think that's going to be an important part of this question with the timing. So let me know if you didn't. We'll go back to this question and revisit the ways to take this medicine. Okay, that does it for the questions that came in throughout the week. I'm going to kind of keep my eye on my email as well as our Instagram direct messages. So if I missed your question, you can contact me there if you want to get your question in that way. But if you're with us live, go ahead and put it in the comments. We're going to get to every single one. And then we'll kind of be off for Halloween. So you're dressing up as Dick Cheney tomorrow?
No, I mean, I may wear the mask at work for 5 minutes, you know, shock everybody. You really, to really make that outfit look good, you have to have a trench coat on, and you need a shotgun. You need to be carrying a shotgun with it too, which I'm not gonna bring a shotgun to work, but
that not a good idea,
because, you know, Dick Cheney's the one that shot, he was out hunting, shot the guy right in front of him by mistake. So
is that I didn't know that was the joke.
That's what he's famous for, you know. Yeah,
interesting. Hey, okay, we got questions coming in. I see every single one. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Mama Beast Place. If y'all have questions, go ahead and put them in, and we will get to all of them. I want to put this up from One Step Forward, and I hope I'm reading this correctly, One Step Forward. If I'm not, please let me know in the comments, and I'll make sure to correct myself. The question is continued. Would it be worth to have a reading now? And I think I'm missing something there. One step forward. So let me know if I am. But let's see if we can get to the second.
Did they ask the question about the tirzepatide and CJC?
Maybe. Okay.
And if you're worried about losing muscle with Ozempic or Mounjaro, then it's great to have a baseline body scan, which we do in Knoxville and Tri-Cities, you know, using our in-body scan to see what your percentage muscle is and visceral fat. And then you can measure it. That's actually why I bought those machines, very expensive machines, to make sure people don't lose too much muscle as they're losing weight, because you certainly could while on those medicines. So I guess that's what you're saying. As far as platelets having an effect on building muscle, I don't think so. You know, affecting your clotting factors, yes, but building muscle, giving platelets, I don't think are going to affect that.
All right, One Step Forward. I hope that helps. If it if we missed the mark on that question, let us know in the comments, and I'll get back to it, and we will help you out there. I'm gonna get to let's see here. Where am I at? Let's get to Barbara's question over on Facebook. Okay, I'm seeing a few come in through email. Thank you. The question is it okay to use diet shot after gallbladder surgery?
Well, it depends on what kind of diet shot you're thinking about. If it's something like a Vitatrim, of course. But if you're talking about, are you talking about Ozempic or Mounjaro? Maybe. I'm not sure which one you're talking about. So if you'll put that up there, I can maybe answer that question. Certainly the Vitatrim would be fine. One thing that that some of the anesthesiologists want to know before they put you asleep is, have you used Ozempic or Mounjaro in the last couple of weeks? Because it can put you more at risk for reflux. And so generally you want to, if you're getting elective surgery, you want to hold off on these type of shots for a couple of weeks before you get elective surgery, because it delays gastric emptying, and it could predispose you to not only maybe a problem with the anesthesia itself, but predispose you to having reflux, and you don't want to have aspiration while you're getting intubated. So it could affect that. So, and again, I've talked to anesthesiologists who say they've seen hundreds and hundreds of people on these shots and never seen a problem. But if you read literature, you know, there is that warning. So,
and Barbara did confirm that it is about the GLP-1 shots, the Ozempic. Okay. So would it be okay to do it after gallbladder surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And another thing, after gallbladder surgery, you want to emulsify the fats as well as you did when you had a gallbladder because of bile production. So definitely make sure you get on a digestive enzyme, like something like Digest Shield has in it, which will help you, because a lot of people get loose, very loose, bothersome stools after a gallbladder taken out. So I definitely recommend Digest Shield after gallbladder surgery.
All right. Thank you, Barbara, for clarifying that. I hope that helps. Lisa is, you know, this is, I'm so glad Lisa asked this because I love to hear you talk about advertising for medications. and this is, I'm seeing a lot of ads for colostrum. Thoughts on this? You seeing any reason? What's your two cents?
Yeah, you know, you're not going to see many ads for colostrum on TV. You know, you're going to see it through various pop-ups probably. But for people that have GI problems, I like colostrum. Mm. You know, it's the good stuff out of pre-breast milk is what I say, but it has a lot of immunologic factors in it. Certainly when I had a little GI distress post-COVID, I got on colostrum. So I like colostrum, you know, especially if you have a lot of gut issues, you know, your microbiome is kind of messed up. So yeah, I do like colostrum. It's worth a try.
All right. Thank you, Lisa, for putting that in over on Facebook. I'm going to put this up from Turd Burglar here. I believe the guy who got shot apologized to Dick Cheney.
Yeah, that's right. Dick Cheney didn't apologize, did he? Sorry I got in the way of your shotgun.
Okay, let's get to Mama B's place question here on YouTube. Hello, just wanted Dr. Raj's opinion on the shingles vaccine. I saw Brooke at the Red House about 2 months ago and was diagnosed with shingles. Also, do you offer the vaccine, the shingles vaccine at the office? What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, we do not give vaccine, any kind of vaccines at the office. You know, if you want vaccines, the health department or most any pharmacy will give them to you now. You know, if you've had shingles 2 months ago, definitely don't get one until you're 6 months out from an episode of shingles. You know, with a lot of the distrust about vaccines right now, you know, just use your own opinion on whether or not you want to get it. Years ago, I took I had a small outbreak of shingles. And I did take one shingle shot. The new one's Shingrix. It's a series of two shots. I felt so bad after that first one, I did not take the second one. Because you'll feel worse after the second one. So I'm not against the shingle shot. It's just that, you know, there's a lot of hesitancy right now, obviously. So, personally, my own opinion, I'm almost 69 years old. I'm never going to get another vaccine of any type. I can tell you that right now. So make your own decision up.
So all right. Thank you.
Get your own immune system up to speed. And certainly with shingles, you can treat shingles. You know, shingles can be bad, though. But if you treat it early and hit it with the antivirals and prednisone, you know, really cuts your chances of post-herpetic neuralgia down. So it just depends. I mean, if you had a terrible time with shingles, it may lower your chances of getting it again.
I'm going to put this up from Bianca because it's this is kind of exactly where you're going, I think, is would you need it after having shingles at all? Wouldn't it be a very small incremental increase in protection? So the question is, if you've had it, why do you need the vaccine? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a very good point. It doesn't quite work like that, like it would some of the other things, because shingles really never leaves your body. Mm. But that reasoning, Bianca, certainly does. It kind of resonates with me, but not a lot of other people. So, you know, there are people that have multiple episodes of shingles. Mm. You know, I've seen them. So it's one of those things you almost have to take your own advice about or our own feelings about it. But it's not quite like taking a vaccine, say, for polio or something right. like that, or for tetanus. It's a little bit different, you know, but again, there's a lot of mistrust out there now, and it's carrying over to a lot of the other vaccinations. And again, I'm not really an anti-vaxxer, but, you know,
no,
I'm being vague about it, but that's a very good point Bianca makes. No, but if you've had one episode of shingles, does it not mean you won't get another one?
All right. Tracy's in the building. Welcome in, Tracy. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Happy early Halloween. Let's see here. I'm at Max's question right here on Facebook. If you have a question for Dr. Rogers, go ahead and put it in the comments. I've seen a couple come in through email as well. I'm looking at my email as well as Instagram, if that's a better place for questions. The question from Max is it okay to take LDN every other day? I believe the one I'm taking is 4.5 milligrams. I know LDN's one of your favorite topics right now. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, first of all, I love LDN. I saw a dermatologist this morning as a patient, and they love LDN. They use it for a lot of autoimmune things and itching and a lot of things like that that they see that's kind of sometimes hard to get an etiology on what's causing it. So I like LDN for many reasons. Go look at one of our podcasts on LDN. I love it for long COVID. I love it for just a ton of things, especially autoimmune diseases. So we're a big believer in LDN, low-dose naltrexone. And yeah, I mean, if you work your dose up, you know, I'd certainly take it every day until you get the dose up. But then, yeah, I think that's fine. You know, sometimes it may be a good strategy not to get tolerant to it. Like I tell people taking vitamins, take them 6 days a week instead of seven.
Yep.
It's not going to hurt you to take them seven, but, and certainly it's reasonable. Now, if you're taking it for a specific reason, like, you know, we have people that have MS, we have people, which is a very good time to use it, rheumatoid arthritis, all kinds of things. But, you know, if you feel like your symptoms are coming back, then certainly bump it to every day. But certainly if you're stable, everything's cool, try it.
Yeah, one thing, if you read the article we wrote on LDN probably a month or two back, it was a good friend of ours had a before and after of LDN that was just unbelievable. I think it was some sort of breakout. LDN has just been amazing. I'd encourage anybody to look at those before and afters. I think they're on our website right now. So Max, thank you so much for bringing that up, and that we love talking about.
Yeah, the LDN is great for long COVID. I mean, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, but there was a pretty well-known gastroenterologist in California who had a terrible case of long COVID. She couldn't get out of bed for almost 2 years, get out of bed, much less return to her practice or take care of her kids. She tried everything. Finally, she goes to the Stanford long haul clinic. Guess what they put her on? LDN. Something we've been using for years, you know.
I love it. And Max is saying his reason is he lost plenty of weight. He's down to 175. So, Max, are you saying you used it for weight loss?
Use it for weight loss.
Yeah. It seems like that's what Max used it for and was super successful. So thank you.
It takes away cravings. And it's anti-inflammatory. Good for pain. It's a great medicine.
Yeah.
Very safe.
Max, thank you for putting that in there. And man, congrats on the weight loss. That's incredible. Hopefully that, you know, gives some encouragement to anyone who's with us live who is looking to lose weight and just haven't been able to get to where they want to go. So thank you, Max. Let's go to YouTube. Ter Burglar is asking, I heard an IV bag of vitamin C is helpful for cancer treatment. Any information on the matter? I love this question because, you know, we talk a lot about IV vitamin C. So
I put somebody on today for that very reason. Now, you can't go around claiming as a doctor this cures cancer, but it certainly is a good adjuvant treatment for cancer. Matter of fact, if you'll you know, email the office, will send you some information on it. But yeah, I'm a huge user of IV vitamin C.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful. It's really, really good in those situations. We use it for a lot of things, but that's one of the main ones we do use it for. Really interesting how it works, but we use pretty high doses of it as well.
All right. Thank you for that question. I believe we've, I think it was an Explain This episode we did on IV vitamin C. So if you look for Robin Riddle IV vitamin C, that should come up on YouTube as well. It goes into a little more detail there around the effects of high dose vitamin C. Super cool stuff. All right, I'm going to get to the email inbox. This just came in. The question is, in my area, strep throat is on the rise. Many people 65 and older seem to be getting it, some exhibiting stomach pain, nausea, and even vomiting instead of just the classic sore throat. Why is it affecting seniors? What treatment options do you recommend for this?
Yeah, certainly. If I had strep throat, I'd take an antibiotic for it. Penicillin's the one that you usually think about, although there's a huge shortage of amoxicillin right now. Zithromax certainly hits it as well. But yeah, we're seeing some of this. I saw a case today where a patient had been to the urgent care three times, sick for a sore throat. They did all the cultures, everything always negative. After 1 month, the culture turns positive. So it makes you wonder if they've been smoldering along for a month with this. But yeah, you really want to treat it because you can lead to secondary infections down the line, maybe of your heart valve. So, back in the day when everybody talked about scarlet fever, rheumatic fever, that came from strep. So it is a pretty virulent bacterial pathogen. So why are elderly getting it more? That's a good question. Probably because of their immune systems are dampened, they're lowered. Maybe because they had COVID in the past. But that's why I recommend when the people, I'm a big vitamin believer. So make sure your vitamin D levels are up there. Take C every day, take a little zinc. And then during the season, take something like My Immune Complex. It has quercetin and NAC and acetylcysteine in it. And certainly get your sleep, exercise. A lot of times older folks are having to take care of their grandkids and, other kids. Unfortunately, I don't have any grandkids yet. Here I'm this old and I don't have any grandkids, but I'd like some. But, I'd welcome taking care of, babysitting occasionally for about a strep throat. I know how to treat it. But so maybe it's hanging around these little infants. I don't know who are more prone to that. But certainly keep your immune system up. And that's my best guess. We're seeing a lot of infections now that we usually didn't see that much of. So keep your immune system healthy.
Yeah.
People aren't as healthy as they used to be. Look at it. The last 2 years of life expectancy has gone down, not because of COVID. Overall life expectancies has declined for the first time in history. It's always gone up. It's gone down for the past 2 years. So
that is interesting with you hear all these, longevity type people. So you would think with all the advances in medicine that lifespan would increase. Am I wrong on that?
No, it always has because, for one reason, infections, just right. Like you're talking about, the reason people died 100 years ago, what was the average age for a male was like 50. Because of an infection. That used to kill most people. But we've got good treatments for infections now. But there's the reason that a lot of people think that life expectancy has declined is because of, there's a lot of factors, but certainly obesity to me is the main one, but you also have drug overdoses. You have more diabetes, more heart disease. You know, just when we think we're making a lot of inroads on cancer, now cancers are popping up. I've seen a lot of people with cancers lately.
And you think that's lifestyle related?
You know, maybe. Yeah. Immune system. I mean, your immune system constantly surveils your body to get rid of cancer. We probably all have cancer cells that are trying to grow, but they're not. But something triggers the plateau and boom, you got cancer you got to deal with. But I suspect we all have cancer cells that are constantly being suppressed. You know, just like we talked about the BRCA genes last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are actually cancer suppressing genes. It's when you get the mutations in the BRCA genes, which is genetic. Then that's when the BRCA genes, which are cancer suppressor genes, they get overrun by mutated genes that enhance cancer. So that's one reason why they go after cancer now with immune fighters, you know, instead of pure chemotherapy. It's really changed a lot of the cancer treatments.
That's interesting. You know, with you saying that, it kind of makes me think of, you know, this whole idea of like, worry about this, not that. You know, there's a lot of things that we worry about just as humans that we probably don't need to in regards to our health. And then there's some things that we might not worry about that we should. With what you're seeing and with the life expectancy going down, you know, obviously keeping your immune system strong would be like one thing to concern yourself with. Is that what I'm hearing? Is there anything else?
Certainly. I mean, I think diet's the most important thing, you know, what you eat, certainly, and staying lean, getting exercise, getting sleep. I think stress causes cancer as well.
Yeah.
It causes imbalances of your immune system. So hormonal imbalances, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of factors.
And that's actually, you know, I'm excited for everybody to get to listen to Dr. Mike Adler tomorrow on the Common Sense MD with you. There's a lot of stressors in our lives that we don't even recognize, you know, and that's really what that episode is about, is, you know, some of these, terrible, horrifying experiences, that, you know, sometimes we don't talk about, and but there's stress living inside you because of those types of things.
Stress to me is a toxin.
Yeah.
Just like smoking is a toxin.
Yeah. Super interesting. Thank you for teeing us up with that question over email. And seems to be a follow-up question from Mark. Could it be a new or mutated strain of strep A, and that's why it's so hard to get a diagnosis from a culture?
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be.
Super interesting. I'm going to get to Mark's question in the comments here. Hand, foot, and mouth disease is breaking out across the country and now in my area. How has it spread so quickly across so many states? What are your suggestions for treatments? When I think of hand, foot, and mouth, I think of kids. What's your thoughts on this one?
Even adults get it. It's caused by something called a Coxsackie virus. There's no real good treatment for it. I mean, sometimes depending on the severity of it, you can use some steroids and some other things. But it's very contagious. You know, it's very contagious. You usually do think of pediatric population getting it, but even some adults get it.
What do you think about?
I wouldn't mind getting it if I had a few, you know, infants to take care of, or, you know, grandchildren. I'm giving Ben some hints.
I think everyone that's with us live caught that one. If you guys are new to the channel, this is my dad.
I'm hoping for grandchildren. You know?
thank you, Mark, for that. It seems Mark's putting in here some research now shows or now suggests to increase T cell production and move away from antibodies treatments for cancer. So that was in regards to the cancer.
Yeah.
The cancer comments. Thank you for that. I'm going to put this up from Mama B's Place. Love these types of comments where, you know, you're sharing things that have worked for you. Mama B is saying, when my shingles were active, I treated myself with herbal antivirals, especially black walnut, internally and externally. I made a huge difference. That's awesome.
Love black walnut.
That is super cool. Thank you for that comment there. You know what? You and Chuck can relate on this one.
That's hilarious, Chuck.
I love it.
I know. You know, I was trying to figure this out. I have three kids in their mid-30s, and none of them have children yet. But so at my age, if for some reason I had a grandchild, you know, sometime even a year from now, I'd still be 90 years old when they graduated from high school. So that's getting old.
But
I hope I'm in good shape.
You look great, though. You look great. You're going to make 90 look great. Chuck, I'm with your son here. I know we got to get our act together.
That's hilarious, Chuck. I really like that.
Chuck's saying, I completely understand. Everyone's doing some math right here. I love it. I love it. Well, guys, we're going to be here for another 10 minutes or so. So if you have a question for Doc, go ahead and put it in the comments. And if not, we'll call it a day. I'm going to see if I'm missing anything in email here. See, I mean, I'm feeling it, Bianca, to be honest with you. This is...
You can feel it, can't you?
I can feel this pressure, along with Chuck's son. But
what's that song by Phil Collins? Something in the Air Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel real.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to do a post about this. Tomorrow's Halloween. There's so many candies. What are some healthy candy options? I know you're not giving out healthy candy tomorrow. At your house?
Oh, we'll be giving out healthy candy.
What's the healthy candy?
Yeah.
Have you gotten candy yet?
Actually, I need to go get some. But, yeah, apples, you know. But the thing about it, they don't like you giving out apples because people, who knows, you know, go to a stranger's house, get an apple, who knows?
Yeah.
But, so I guess you could encourage, you know, give your kids fruits, but I usually like to give vitamins. That's what I'll hand out, vitamins to the kids.
Are you gonna give out this tomorrow? Let me see if I can find it. Is this what you're giving
water
out?
I'm gonna give out water.
You're giving out the Dr. Rogers Energy Complex tomorrow? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a winner.
I think parents might not like you that much if you gave out this tomorrow. They're already gonna be energized on sugar, I'm assuming.
I know. I'll have to figure it out. But, you know, as far as that goes, you know, Halloween was always a tough night around our house, as you know, Ben, because Andy and Kelly are type 1 diabetics. Mm-hmm. So you all went out and got all the candy and then you couldn't eat it.
Yeah.
You know, you could, but you felt guilty. So there was a lot of crying at our house on Halloween night because of that. But turns out sugar's not good for you anyway.
Yeah.
So I wish I could give out some little samples of honey, raw, local, unpasteurized, unfiltered honey that I actually sell in my offices because that's a great little sweet treat. You know,
I think maybe I can make,
but again, these kids that come by, they're not going to want that. And their parents don't want them getting honey. You know? So I don't know. I guess I'll have to try to find a low, you know, the kids sometimes ate some of that Russell Stover, you know, low sugar candy. I'm sure it had a terrible artificial sweetener in it, but if you could somehow find some that had maple syrup or monk fruit, something like that, raw local honey.
Coal miner's daughter is saying, you got local honey and I'm there. I think you'd be the most popular house, I think, in the neighborhood if you're giving out local honey.
I know. I have plenty of it.
Yeah. I think that'd be incredible. She's saying popcorn balls. That's a great one. Yeah. There's got to be some healthy candies out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, I don't know
really what great question.
I don't know any candy that wouldn't raise your, what do you call it? Your glycemic
insulin levels.
Your insulin levels.
Yeah, yeah. Even artificial, you know, is going to raise you.
Dave did it. It's dark chocolate. That's exactly what you do.
Dave, that's a great. Yeah, very little sugar, a lot of good fats. Dark chocolate.
That's it.
That's what I'm going to go for.
Yep, dark chocolate. Yep. I'd say anything.
Here's maybe dark chocolate covered cranberries, which are good. How about that?
Didn't your mom make you that one year?
I think she did.
There was some story around that, but dark chocolate from Dave, I think that's right. Anything over like 72% cacao, something like that, that's got to be healthy.
You know, the kids won't like it, you know. It tastes a lot more bitter than milk chocolate, but that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, that is. I think it's good to get used to that as a kid. That kind of bitterness. Let's see, Costco has apple banana cookies, two ingredients only. That's interesting. So apples and bananas. That's awesome. I think that's a great suggestion.
Ronnie, thank you.
Mark
saying, great suggestion.
Mark saying gift cards to Performance Medicine.
It's a good idea.
I love that. Well, guys, it has been so much fun to hang out with you guys. This has been a Halloween episode. Bianca, we're getting some great suggestions here. Tell the kids to eat some carrots before the candy to keep their spike lower. That's a good idea.
Wonderful idea.
That's a good little
that's a great idea.
That's a tip. Every one of you guys in here tonight, including myself, can take that tip. That's awesome.
How about a free in-body scan? A gift card for a free in-body scan. Let them know how much visceral fat they really have.
I think that's a great idea. Tracy's got an even better one. Guitar solo. Just, you know, play your music.
Man, I know. I'm working on Blackbird.
I'm working on Blackbird.
I'm working on Can't Go Home Again. Oh, here the dogs are. They just got haircuts today. You ready for them?
I'm ready. I haven't seen them.
All right. Hang on. They usually tear my earpiece out. Come here.
Look at that. Izzy, you look great. I wonder how Izzy's going to be tomorrow with all the hoopla around the Halloween.
Oh, they'll go nuts. They will go absolutely bonkers.
I don't know.
Here's Ike. Here's Ike.
Ike's all shy. Ike, what's going on, man?
He's a shy. I'll get to see you here soon. Sure.
They look great. They got great haircuts.
They smell good, too.
I love it.
Ike, when he got his haircut this afternoon, as soon as he got out, this place he got it was near a farm with horses in a pasture. So he escaped, ran under the fence, and was chasing these horses around. And then they started chasing him right after the clean haircut. He was in a muddy pasture chasing horses.
And then they turned it around on him. I can see Ike.
They came after him.
Ike was initially going after, he was the hunter, and then the hunter becomes the hunted. I bet he went crazy. Coal miner's daughter, thank you so much. That means a lot to us. What did you think of the show tonight? I thought we did awesome. I thought this was one of
I'm glad we did it on Monday because nobody's going to want to be here tomorrow night during Halloween. The doorbell's going off. You're answering the doorbell.
There's around 30 people here with us tonight right now. I thank you guys so much for hanging out with us every single week. These shows are so much fun for us, and you guys make it. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for the wonderful questions. We do this every single week. Next week, we'll be back to our regular schedule, which is on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Stay tuned tomorrow. Those videos drop. I'm going to put this up one more time. Dr. Mike Adler, Effects of Abuse. That is coming out tomorrow at around 8. And then we've got, let's see, where am I at? We've got Explain This, Ashwagandha and Fertility. So even if you're not a in kind of the place in life where you're concerned about fertility, still learn a ton about ashwagandha in this episode with Robin Riddle. And then we're going to start a series on glucose on the Diabetes Tour Guide with Andy Rogers. Be sure to check out the first episode of that. This is episode 5 in the entire channel, but the first episode of this series. So please check that out. We'd appreciate it.
Obviously, my kids aren't interested in fertility because I don't have no grandkids.
The message was received. I don't know if you guys got the message. I got the message.
We joke around. We joke around a lot.
Chuck, you need to send this clip to your son. He'll get the message. Evangelon, we love you, man. We're about to call it a day. Thank you for being here, man. We love you, Evangelon. Watch the rewind. We'll see you guys next week. Evangelon, we'll see you live next week, 7 p.m. Tuesday. We hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful, and safe Halloween tomorrow. Hope you guys have a blast. Take some of these suggestions with the candy consumption. You know, do Bianca's carrot routine to lower that what is it called, glucose spike, to lower just the glucose spike. There we go. Pop, I love you, man. Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.